Heavenly Father, we're so thankful to be here for all that You're doing in our lives, how far that You've brought us so far. Father, I pray that if there's any struggling here this morning, that they might find encouragement. Lord, You know what each and every person in this room needs, and I pray by the power of Your Holy Spirit that You would meet those needs this morning. Father, that we wouldn't look to the world, that we wouldn't look to others, but we would look only unto You to meet every need, for every hurt, for every pain. Lord, that Your will would be done with every life here. May there be a special anointing this morning upon this service. May You open up every ear to hear. May we not be distracted by the cares of this life, by what's going on around us, but may we be so focused on hearing Your voice today. We pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. That song that we sang, "When I Think About the Lord," you know, sometimes I get discouraged. Do any of y'all ever get discouraged? Sometimes I get discouraged. Sometimes I get discouraged with myself, and I think, Lord, I still got so much to learn, and I still got so far to go. But then, do you ever stop and you think about how far you've come? And that's kind of what I was thinking as we were singing that song this morning. How far God has brought me. It's not by my might, not by what I've done, but how far God has brought me and how much work has already been done. I still got a ways to go, but I'm very grateful for all that the Lord has done in me. The message this morning has been on my heart for 3 or 4 weeks. I didn't know why I kept getting a pause in my spirit about preaching it. But then, as this week went on, sometimes I wish y'all could be with me in my delivery truck, because it's like, man, you would hear a good sermon, because the Lord will just begin to talk to me, and it's like I'm trying to drive and take notes, and just because if I don't take notes, it leaves me, you know. And sometimes what happens in that truck doesn't always translate to Sunday morning, but I pray that it translates this week. And I was trying to decide what title to put on this sermon, and what I would think of is, don't be deceived. Have any of y'all ever been deceived? I think we've probably all been deceived at some point in our life. Whether it was, one of the things that seems like really is happening today is if you're on your phone at all and you look at news and there'll be a headline that says something, but when you click on it, it's just like, That's not truth. The way the headline made you think that it's going to tell you this story or things are going to happen this way, they deceive you to try and just get you to click on their link. And we've all been deceived in some way, but there's an area in our life that we don't need to be deceived. And in 1 Timothy 4, verse 1, I'm just going to read a few quick scriptures here. If you do want to open up your Bibles, you can open to Luke 16, but it's going to be a few minutes before we get there. But 1 Timothy 4:1 says, "The Spirit clearly says that in latter times some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons." Are we living in the latter times? I believe so. This world might be here for another couple hundred years. I don't know. I'm not making any predictions up here, but the evil and what's going on in our world today, I think we're in fast forward, church. And what does this say? The Spirit clearly says that in the latter times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits. I believe that right now Satan is doing everything he can to deceive you and me, to lead us astray in whatever areas of our life. And the way that Satan does it is not just a big bold lie. It's the little subtleties. It's the little things that He can get us off track, that He can lead us astray. Matthew 24:24 says, "For false Christ and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and miracles to deceive even the elect, if that were possible." So there it is again, that there's going to be false prophets, false teachers coming, even performing miracles to deceive us. Why, all these deceptions, all these little subtle things that are coming into our lives to try and lead us off track. And where does it come from? Well, John 10:10 says, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the fullest." Why do we follow things that we know have no godly value? Why do we allow things into our life that we know are not building us up and getting us closer to God? As I was thinking about all this, and I was thinking about the American dream, and has the American dream deceived all of us? You know, the house with the white picket fence, the dog and a half, and 6.5 kids, or 2.5 kids, or whatever your dream would be, you know, and these statistics, and how great and how wonderful the American dream is. And when I say that, is it deceiving us? Because I think, how many of us, that has become the goal of our life? To have so much money, to have a nice house, to have a nice car, to have a nice family, to you know, put on the appearance, and all of our neighbors love us, and we love all of our neighbors. We show up to church, and we're prim and proper, and we do what we're supposed to do, and we just, the American dream. But is the American dream really what God's called us to be? Or are we being deceived to think that that should be the goal of our life? Now we're in Luke 16. Luke 16, verse 19. And this right here has been what's been on my mind for weeks. And it just kept resonating in my heart and in my mind. But Luke 19, it says, "There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day." The American dream. That's the American dream right there. The rich man that was dressed fine and lived in luxury every day. Is that not what all of our goal is? To look nice, to dress nice, to live in luxury. We want our air conditioning. We want our heat. We want our freezers full. We want our, for me, iced coffees. And you know, it's like Seven Brew open, by the way. And that's what we want. That's what we live for. Here's this man, a rich man, dressed in fine purple linens and lived in luxury every day. But at his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him away to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried in hell, where he was in torment. He looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, "Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire." We don't like to talk about that, do we? We want to hear the blessings. We want to hear the good. We want to talk about heaven. This rich man had everything great and wonderful in his life, but here he's in agony, and he's saying, just a touch of water on my tongue. But Abraham replied, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received good things while Lazarus received bad things. But now he is comforted here and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us." He answered, "Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my father's house. For I have five brothers. Let him warn them so that they will not also come to this place of torment." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them." "No, Father Abraham," he said, "but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent." He said to him, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead." This is a terrible story. But I believe it's a true story. We could look at this and say, "Oh, no, Peter, you saying because I have a nice home, because I have food, because I have plenty, that I'm destined for hell?" No, that's not what I'm saying, and I don't believe that that's what this story is saying. But I do believe what the story is saying is, did he ever have eyes for Lazarus? Did he ever have eyes for the needs around him to help, to meet those needs? Or was he consumed with the American dream? To get what I want, so that I can have pleasure, so that I can have plenty, so that I can kick my feet up and relax. Where was his focus at? Where is your focus at today? Are you being deceived? And as I was thinking about the American dreams in our lives, and we want to live lives free from pain, don't we? We don't want to have to sacrifice. We don't want to have to give. We don't want to have to be bothered with that. We don't want our kids to hurt. We don't want our kids to struggle and go through pain. But can I ask you, what's the biggest lessons you've learned in life? It's been through pain for me. It's been through struggles. It's been through the hard times when I didn't know if there was going to be a way out or not. But, well, we want our kids to be struggle free. We want them to be popular and the most athletic. And where do we teach them to deny themselves? Have we even lived that out ourselves, where we deny ourselves? Here was a rich man living in luxury, living in fine things, and maybe never taking the time to deny himself and to give to those around him. Last week I was talking about serving and evidence, and I believe that all can kind of tie in with all this. You go to Mark chapter 8. Mark 8:34. Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose his life. But whoever wants to lose his life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world yet forfeit his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my word, in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of God will be ashamed of him whom he comes, or when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels." I remember a long time ago preaching a sermon on being a secret service, a secret agent for the gospel, and there is no such thing. And you know, why is it important to come to the altars? Why is it important to let people know that you are a child of God? Because right here, these scriptures, if you're ashamed of me, I'm going to be ashamed of you. But the first part of that about denying yourself. See, the denying yourself goes completely opposite of the American dream, doesn't it? The American dream is use credit cards and get what you want. You want it now. You want it right now. You want it fast. You want it immediately. You know, as I was thinking about all this, and I'm spoiled. Okay, I am part of a spoiled generation. I just turned 47. I'm getting older, but just turned 47 about a month ago, and I have lived a very spoiled life. When Crystal and I was 20 and she was 18 when we got married, and we bought a house. We've always had a house. We bought a house, and then after 7-8 years, we built a new house. And we made a bunch of money off the first house that we built. So we was, or the first house we lived in. So we was able to build a new house, and we lived in a new house. And I've never went hungry. I've never gone without. But there was times in our lives that we would have $15, $20 to last us for the week. And I remember when my kids were little and the fair would come to town, and I always wanted to take them to the fair, but honestly, it took everything we had to take them to the fair. And we would do that, and we would do these things, but we were broke. And it was a struggle to get there, okay? And I remember the struggle to get there, but then I remember hearing stories from my dad, from Crystal's dad, and the generation just before us, and they couldn't just buy a house. They didn't have the money, they weren't able to get loans and things like that. Many of them had to rent places and do different things, and it was more of a struggle for them. And then you go back even to the grandparents' generation. And it was even more of a struggle for them, and they had to earn it, and they had to work even harder than all of us. And now you go to the next generation after me, and man, they got nice, brand new everything right off the bat. They got nicer and brand new that I can't even afford yet, and I'm like, how are people doing this? How do they do it? We're getting more and more spoiled, aren't we? We're getting more and more used to having things. And the whole reason why I'm telling y'all this story is I'm not picking on the younger generation because I'm spoiled myself. But things from 30, 40 years ago that I couldn't afford to do, I can afford to do now. But how is it that this young generation can afford to do all these things right away and not struggle? Well, are they going in debt? Are they using credit cards? What are they doing? How are they doing that? The whole point of what I'm trying to say here, let me bring it back in. Do any of you ever deny yourself of anything anymore? You look at a diet. I hate diet. I need to go back on a diet bad. I told Crystal this morning. This is it. I got to start eating better this week. I'm tired of it. But you know what? I said that last week too. I got to start eating better. This is ridiculous. But what's dieting involve? It involves denying yourself something. You want that chocolate cake. You want that ice cream. You want that pizza. No. You eat broccoli instead. You eat your lettuce or your vegetables, or you just do without. And it's denying yourself. How many of us really, really know and have learned to deny ourselves? Are we living the American dream where we say, I want what I want, and I want it now, and it don't matter if I have to use plastic to get it. It don't matter if I have to steal from people to get it. It don't matter if I have to cheat the government to get it. It don't matter if I step on that guy to get that promotion, because I want what I want. Are we being deceived that that's what life is all about? That's what we're living for? Acts 26. Paul is Paul. I won't read the whole thing, but Paul here is talking to Agrippa, and he's sharing his road to Damascus experience. We see all that right before, we'll start about verse 19, but all this before is he speaking of his experience and how when he was on the road to Damascus and Jesus peeled back heaven and blinded him and said, why are you persecuting me? Okay, so he's sharing his testimony. And so verse 19, so then King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the vision from heaven, First to those in Damascus, then to those in Jerusalem and all of Judea and to the Gentiles also, I preach that you should repent and turn to God and prove their repentance by their deeds. That's kind of what we preached on last week, and there's evidence when you repent. There's evidence of a changed life. There's evidence of things are different and you're no longer the man or woman you used to be, okay? Verse 21, that is why the Jews seized me in the temple courts and tried to kill me, but I have had God's help to this very day, and so I will stand here and testify to small and great alike. I am saying nothing beyond what the prophets and Moses said would happen, that the Christ would suffer, and as the first to rise from the dead would proclaim light to his own people and to the Gentiles. At this point, Festus interrupted Paul's defense. You are out of your mind, Paul, he shouted. Your great learning is driving you insane. As I read that and I think, what would the world say about a sermon of denying yourself? They'd say, you're crazy, you're insane, live life, you live for today, that's all you got. They'd say, I'm insane to talk about denying ourselves. They've been deceived. And here, Festus is saying, you're out of your mind, Paul. Verse 25, I'm not insane, most excellent Festus. Paul replied, what I'm saying is true and reasonable. The king is familiar with these things and I can speak freely to him. And I am convinced that none of this has escaped his notice because it was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know you do. Then Agrippa said to Paul, do you think that in such a short time you can persuade me to be a Christian? Paul replied, short time or long, I pray God that not only you, but all who listen to me today may become what I am, except these chains. My heart aches right now. For all the compromise that I see going on. My heart aches right now for all the people that are almost persuaded to sell out to Jesus. Do you think that in just a short time you can persuade me? I believe there's people in church every Sunday that are almost there. They're almost persuaded, but they're still being deceived by the world, by Satan, by the desires of the world, by the desires of the flesh, and they think they have to just give up too much, and they're still being deceived. We read, many will be deceived, many will follow deceiving spirits, and there's many who are deceived, and how many people are truly taking up their cross daily and following Him and taking up your cross daily, and a whole nother message, but basically it's denying yourself and giving your life to Jesus Christ fully. And here, King Agrippa, do you really think that you could persuade me this quick? Could I persuade you this morning to truly sell out to Jesus? Could I persuade you this morning to repent and to, as Paul stated, to prove your repentance by a changed life? That there's evidence of a changed life? Now, any of y'all see that on my finger? Can y'all see that or not? There's a black dot on my finger. Some of y'all can't even see it, can you? There was a sermon years ago that I heard by Francis Chan, and he took a rope and he stretched it out across the stage, and it was this huge rope, and he had a little spot tied off, and he said, this represents eternity, and that little spot that he had tied off, he said, that represents your life. And so I don't have a big rope, but I thought, this little dot here in this room represents your life this morning. You say, that's just so small and insignificant. And this room, some of y'all can't even see it that's sitting in the back. You can't even see this dot. J. James 4:14 says, "While you do not even know what will happen tomorrow, what is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes." Psalms 144:4 says, "Man is like a breath. His days are like fleeting shadows." Luke 16:27. He answered them, "Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them so that they will also not come to this place of torment." This is how fast your life's going to be, young or old. I remember years ago sitting with my grandpa at the hospital. And I can't remember all the details, but he was bragging on his grandkids. We would always take him and my grandma to all their hospital visits and stuff. Either me or my brother or my dad, we always made sure that they were taken care of. And we were sitting there, and him and my, it must have been a doctor's visit for my grandma, because she wasn't sitting with us, and we were kind of sitting in the lobby. And he was talking about his life and about how many years he'd been married. It was plus 50 years at that time. And I'm like, "Man, Grandpa, that's a long time." And he laughed and he said, "Yeah." And he goes, but not really. He said, "Pete, it went by fast." What are you going to put in your dot? The American dream, more stuff. I heard that, I should have looked this up, it just now come to me. But there's more storage buildings now than there are McDonald's. And you know, there's billions of McDonald's. But why is all these storage buildings doing so good? When we first got married, I had some buddies from Oklahoma that come in. They're like, "Man, we need to build storage buildings. I was too broke to build storage buildings. If I would have built storage buildings back then, I could have been retired now and just been your preacher, you know? But man, we need more. And everywhere you look, there's more storage. There's more storage. There's more storage. I need a new storage building." I stopped the other day and looked, and then when I saw the price, I said, "I ain't getting no new storage building, but man, I need a storage building." Why? Because we got junk everywhere. We got more stuff than we need. What am I going to fill my life with? Am I going to be like the rich man, wearing my fine clothes, eating my fine food, doing my fine things, having my fine vacations? Or am I going to stop and begin to deny myself and take up my cross? Not that being wealthy is a sin. It's not a sin. Not that being poor makes you righteous. It doesn't. But it's saying, "Jesus, what would you have me do today?" And see, this dot is black. That dot's red. And you see the red dot? This dot's covered with the blood of Jesus. And it's different. It looks different. Because when you follow Jesus, you're going to look different, you're going to act different, and you're going to be different. And those people around you that are being deceived, you in here this morning, have you been deceived to believe the lie that you follow the ways of the world and you're going to be happier? That you follow the life that the commercials, that social media says that if you follow that way, then you're going to get more likes, you're going to get more followers, you're going to get more people that love you, you're going to get more friends, you're going to get more happiness. But can I tell you, it's all vanity and it's all emptiness. You need to fill your life with Jesus Christ and be not deceived by the ways of this world. And as I was studying, and I was going to quit there, but as I was reading back over my Bible and I looked, and I just was kind of looking at Luke chapter 16, and right above it in my Bible is the story of the prodigal son. And I want to end with that because I don't want you to be discouraged this morning, because there's time for you to repent. There's time for you to change. But what happened to the prodigal son? He wanted what he wanted, right? He wanted his inheritance. I want what I want. I want it now. Well, he didn't want to wait. He wanted what he wanted. And his dad gave it to him. In Luke 15:17, so you know he goes and spends all he's got in wild living and all that. But in Luke 15:17 it says, when he came to his senses, he came to his senses. How many of my father's hired men have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men. So he got up and went to his father. If you've been deceived this morning, right, here's the verses for you, okay? But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. Have you ever been lied to? Have you ever been taken? Have you ever been deceived? And then you realize this morning, if that's you and you realize that you've been living a lie, that you've not sold out to Jesus Christ, you've been deceived by the world, you've been chasing after things of the world, and you say, but how can I come back? This man, his eyes were open, he came to his senses, and his father was looking for him. And what did his father do? He ran to him, and he put his arms around him, and he's telling him, I love you. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Lest have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. This morning, if you've been deceived, if you've been living a life for all the wrong things, for your flesh, for your desires, for what you feel like you want, right now is the time to cry out to Jesus. You hadn't done too much. You hadn't gone too far. You've not run so far that Jesus won't forgive you. As a matter of fact, I believe right now Jesus is looking down from heaven and looking for you. And looking for you and hoping that you'll come to your senses and hoping that you'll repent. And He's there with His loving arms to call you up. I don't want any of you to be deceived like the rich man. 50 years from now, 100 years from now, 150 years from now, this little dot, the only thing that's going to matter is, did you cover your life in Jesus and His blood and live for Him? Or did you live for self? Where are you going to be for all eternity? Let's stand. Father, I thank You for Your Word today. And I pray that if there's any prodigals here this morning, if there's any that their heart and their desire has turned to self, the pleasures of this world, that if they've been deceived by what Satan continues to hit them with and dangle in front of them, and they've been chasing after the dreams of this world, Father, that right now, that by the power of Your Holy Spirit, their eyes would be open, that they would repent and come running back to You, Lord, and may they feel Your presence and Your loving arms. Lord, just as we read, if anyone denies You before man, that You'll deny them before the Father. So I pray, Lord, this morning that none of us would deny You any longer. Just as Paul wrote that the repentance and that it would be shown in the life that they live, that from this moment on, that the repentance that we have would be real and that it would show through in the life that we now live. Lord, may each of us take up our cross today and decide to follow You fully and wholeheartedly May we not be deceived any longer. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. If you need prayer this morning, the altars are open. If you need encouragement this morning, if you've been struggling this morning, if you've been drawn away by the world this morning, now is the time to repent. Now is the time to call upon Jesus, and He's waiting for you this morning. I beg you, I plead with you, don't let another day pass without getting right with God. Cry out to Jesus. Surrender your life to Him. He's waiting. He loves you. Some of y'all know we're not promised tomorrow. I pulled up, didn't even know what was going on upon a shooting this week. A 22-year-old man shot 14, 17 times, something like that. I'm walking and then I'm hearing all that's going on and I'm like, where's this guy at? I got to get back to my truck. A 22-year-old, got your whole life ahead of you, and just like that, you're gone. You think because you're young, you got it all together, you think it's going to last? We are a mist of vapor that appears for a little while. But we got all eternity to live with Jesus when you're under the blood, when you're in that new covenant with Him. And it's a wonderful thing. My prayer is that in 100 years from now, we're all up there celebrating together. My prayer is that when we go throughout this week, that these verses will come back. And the Holy Spirit will come back and will begin to minister to those around us that are hurting, that are in pain, that God will open up the door. I just keep feeling it. I don't know why, but I feel like I should open up the church tonight for prayer. That's all I know, so I'm going to open up the church tonight about 6 for a time of prayer. I don't think I'm going to be preaching or anything else, but if anybody would like to come and just pray, you're more than welcome to. And men's meeting Wednesday night, 6:30. And so work day next Saturday, starting at 8:30 in the morning. And we will feed you lunch. And so y'all have a blessed afternoon.